You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow!
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way, because you are listening to the movie show.
Welcome!
This is the movie show!
On Active FM.
With me, Sash.
And myself, Ryan.
And today we're just going to jump straight into the show because I think we have a lot to talk about.
Did you say my name? My name's Ryan, by the way.
I think we did say your name, right?
Sorry, I'm
just okay, just in case, you know.
I'm suffering with
amnesia.
Hmm?
Okay, so
what
everything, everywhere, all at once. Yes, that is the name of
That's how this intro feels.
It's everything, everywhere, all at once.
Crazy, crazy film.
Yes, 2022 film. Mm. It is a sci-fi slash adventure.
And it hit cinemas, right?
It did hit cinemas. In fact, can I give you an interesting fact?
Please. Yes.
So, on the 4th of May, 2022, this film was number one for domestic box office. Just under it. Guess what film was just under it, Ryan?
Marvel.
No, The Bad Guys.
You
and
think?
Then under it was Fantastic Beasts, The Secret of Dumbledore. And then under it was The Northman. And then under it was Sonic the Hedgehog 2, which I will never watch in my life.
That should have been under.
Yeah, that
under,
shouldn't have been
under,
like, yeah.
Under
but the fact that this film beat both Fantastic Beasts and The Northman, because this is technically classified as like an indie film, because of the budget. It was a very, 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 very small budget.
It is an indie
film. It is an indie film.
Yes.
Let me just explain. So I did some research just to help us compare here, right? So Endgame, which is another film about the multiverse, right? The budget for Endgame was $356 million, right? Then Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore, which was the third film on the list, two films under Everything Everywhere All at Once, their budget was $200 million. The Northman, their budget was quite a bit lower, was $90 million.
I feel like this is in budget order, yeah?
Everything Everywhere All at Once, they spent only $25 million.
You know what? Can I tell you what that tells us? Can I tell you what that tells us?
Tell me what that tells us.
There is so much unnecessary money
spent
on films.
Yeah, definitely.
I was talking to someone who is who actually works on in production over the weekend, who does production, and he talks about how money actually gets flung around behind the sets. He said even like, it's kind of like a business idea that he's got. So if someone has a broken phone, he takes it from that person, and somewhere on production, an actor will need a phone, and he'll sell them the phone.
What?
Yeah.
That's actually...
He says that's how money's just like...
flung around.
Here we go. And like, it'll be in the thousands. He'll
no,
sell
it's
that
insane.
Phone like that.
For me, I know that money's wasted by film production companies, because in the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard trial, right, they had... So when Johnny Depp was filming for Pirates in Australia, they don't stay at hotels, which would cost money, right? They don't stay at like a... You know when you see the... What are they called? Like caravans. You know, like the... You know where they get their hair and makeup done?
Yeah,
on
the caravan.
Set and stuff. Mm. Like, you'd think the actors would stay in those things. And I think at one point, maybe they did stay in those things.
Kind of like the circus.
Type of thing. You'd think they stay there. They don't. Johnny Depp literally stayed at a full-blown, like, mansion, right? Like, this mansion that was just waiting to be used. Full-blown mansion with, like, grounds and pools and entertainment rooms. He's filming a movie. He's filming. You, like, filming schedules have night shoots. They have... That's crazy, crazy hours, right? Not only did this house... Was it a huge house? There was the guy who was giving testimony in court. He's basically like a glorified butler slash servant for these people. So he literally ensures that the house is perfect. The cleaning staff's there. The transport is organized. The wine is in the wine cellar, right? Like, it sounds like he's going on holiday, right? No, this is a job. Guess who paid for it? Who would you think paid for that mansion and him and all of his services?
Johnny Depp.
Exactly. Disney.
Disney paid for it.
Disney paid for it. So the production company, because Disney produced Pirates of the Caribbean.
Wow.
The production company, which means that would have gone into the film's budget.
Yeah, it would have been there.
Because it... what is that going to do with the... Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I understand. Like, you could put him up in a nice hotel. You could do... You could... Accommodation does not have to be expensive to be nice. And he's barely there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like... If he wants to stay in a nice place, he can pay for it. He's rich enough to pay for it.
I thought that... Wow.
Do you understand what I'm saying? It's insane. The money that is wasted.
I thought you were going to talk about the fact that when they go and whatever... Is it rent? A hotel?
I suppose so, yeah.
Buy a hotel? Well, rent a hotel? Rent a room?
Rent a room, yeah.
Yeah. That they rented another room. But no, he bought a whole freaking man... Did they rent out the mansion or did they buy the mansion?
No, they didn't buy it because they basically paid for it for the amount of time that they were there. I think
so
it was 3 months.
So they're probably renting then.
Yeah. And literally the whole time, it's not even... They have like servants basically. They obviously call them cuter names. But it's basically like full-on wow. house servants. And I'm just like, okay.
Well, I guess if you've got nothing better to do with your money, I mean...
No, but it's not, it's Disney.
Get comfortable.
Disney.
Yeah.
Johnny, I understand if Johnny Depp, it's his money. He can do whatever the hell he wants to do with his money. Yeah. If he wants to, that's, I'm not going to judge him for that.
But
you know, if
crazy.
He can pay for it, he can pay for it, you know. Disney, the production company.
No, that's crazy. That's a lot of money.
So, yeah. But basically what I'm trying to say here is the fact that this film beats so many other films where the budget is insane proves that you don't actually have to have all the money in the world to make a film that can actually be really, really, really good or make it to number one on the box office type of thing, which is actually nice to hear. And for a lot of like indie filmmakers out there, you don't need the big production companies behind you to be successful. That's because sometimes in the film industry, it can kind of feel like that. Like if you don't know the co-producer or co-founder of Warner Brothers, you're stuffed.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it feels
and
like.
And isn't it that, so because it's an indie film, do you think it was, like, basically self-funded almost type of thing?
They probably would have gotten funding for it.
A loan or something like that from
either
the
a loan or, like, crowdfunding maybe. Like, I know The Chosen. The Chosen's completely crowdfunded. So, I mean, even though, I mean, they're not, their budget isn't small. They actually have quite a good budget for it. Obviously, they need to go back in time, build all the sets, costumes, locations, etc. But it's completely crowdfunded. So, either that or they'll have, like, investors maybe. So, you know, like... People who say you present your script and say this is the idea for the film.
That's like producers, isn't it?
Yeah, that type of. Or yeah, that's. I suppose that's how they would then bring in the. But yes, it is with the A24 film company. And then there were actually quite a few film companies with it.
You see, so it's most like probably a whole lot of people sort of
joined together,
to put money in. I like the way they did the intro, like the whole production, because it's in line. Isn't the same sort of feel
as the rest of the film?
Yeah.
Where it's like jumping between the difference. Okay, so, Ryan, let's talk about what we liked about the film first.
Okay, you go first.
Okay, I have a couple of things. So,
let's see if it changes my mind.
Okay, Ryan, does. Yeah, Ryan's like.
I wasn't a fan of this film. Yes.
You need to tell me why you weren't a fan of the film afterwards. Okay, so all the VFX for this film was done by 9 people, right? Including the 2 directors with the majority of the shots being done by a core group of 5 people. None of the VFX team went to school for VFX. They were all friends who taught themselves with tutorials they found online for free. And there were over 500 VFX shots.
Yeah.
That is insane. You don't understand how insane. When I found that out, I was like, oh my goodness, that is, because like this is the filmmaker who doesn't have the money, they had $25 million, which is quite a good budget, but you know, like who doesn't have the production, who doesn't have the normal standard in the film industry, and yet that what they did with, like that's just what gets me, is the fact that they achieved what they achieved with what they had. Mm. Like this is taking what you have in your hands and doing the best with it. Like honestly, this film is that for me. So like that was insane. And then, okay, I just like this piece of information. I think it's a cool idea. So to keep plot details under wraps before the trailer was released. The official synopsis read, "A woman tries to do her taxes."
What?
That was the synopsis of the film. That was the plot. A woman tries to do her taxes.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah, in essence, that's basically what happened in the film. So if you're wondering, the story is about a woman who does taxes. It's not actually, but yeah. And then in an unusual move, the majority of the film's scenes were shot at a high frame rate. This was done to give the editors the flexibility to put different parts into slow motion that weren't originally planned to be in. And then the fight scenes. The fight scenes. I loved the fight scenes. When he's fighting with the fanny pack and the camera does that 360. Oh my goodness. I was just like, this is insane. And the choreography and the...
Choreography was good.
It was insane. It was brilliant. Even, you know that fanny pack fight scene? So the actor that was fighting, he was also a very good actor. Do you know that he... So his name is Ki Hu Kwan. I think that's how you pronounce his name. He hasn't been in front of a camera. This was the first time in 20 years that he was in front of a camera.
Yeah, that's right.
So that he did a brilliant job. Because, like, think about getting back into it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, that, yeah. But he, in that fight scene, he performed all of the stunts except one.
Which one?
I don't know which one it was. But think about that fight scene, right? Think about how technical and insane that was. And they also didn't have a lot of time to shoot it. They only had limited shots. So he literally said there was one part where he was like, they did it the first time and he got it wrong. And on the second take, he literally was like, please, God, let me get this right. And he did it in the second take. So, like... The fight scenes were insane. The fact that they had such a small budget and yet they did what they did. They filmed the whole thing in 37 to 38 days. The whole film was filmed in 37 to 38 days.
Just over a month.
Also, but apparently
25 mil.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's insane. They were filming before COVID broke out, but just before COVID broke out, they quickly filmed like a last scene. And then after COVID broke out, they had to film a scene with Michelle, who was the main character in the film, but she was in Paris and the directors were in America and they literally got her in like a green screen studio by herself. They were on Zoom directing her. And then on top of that, in the scene, Jamie Lee Curtis's hand comes and hits the glass.
Yeah.
And that, they didn't have Jamie at that point. So the director put on the orange jersey and literally that's his. But just the they were so filled with like, let's just solve the problem. Let's do it and see how we can solve it. Like, they say it's impossible to do, but let's find a way. Whether it's sitting at 3 o'clock in the morning on Zoom with Michelle in Paris, you know, like, they did it. They just did what needed to be done, which was insane. And then the director also, so you know, when she's shooting through the different universes.
Yeah.
So what they did
was... crossing over from universe to universe.
So before they actually filmed that sequence, that one of the directors, he took a 4K pocket camera and literally just walked around like New York, different locations.
What's
like
a pocket
everywhere.
Camera? Like one of those like handy cam...
Yeah, basically, where you can just like put it on you and then just like, you know, like walk around. And it was filmed in 4K and he just bunched like... He filmed like a bunch of stock footage like all over the place and then they edited it together, and then when they filmed Michelle doing that behind green screen, they actually had these two LED pellet things, but also like super super cheap, like nothing compared to what they have in like the other films that they do it.
That was probably a majority of the budget, right there.
Right, the two LED.
Yeah.
And then she actually, especially for when like she would move in slow-mo type of thing so that they could then, you know, like just speed up her performance and add her on. But then also, so there was visual effects, but they also did a lot of practical effects, which were also insane. So
those are fun.
Those looked so cool.
Yeah, those were a lot of fun.
So when she's in the office chair, they basically actually moved her back and she acted in slow, which we've done that before, and I was like, this is so bad, we're like doing this in slow-mo and speeding it up afterwards, and they literally did that. They literally got her to act it out in slow-mo and then they just sped it up and it looks flippin' cool.
Looks
like
good.
it looks proper, it doesn't even look like they did that. So like, just the fact that they cheaply did things, not, and it doesn't look cheap at all.
It looks, I mean, as you said, the top films, that was the top above,
yeah,
like other films which
cost
spent
way more.
Spend like.
And apparently, The Northman, I think they spent $90 million. I only think they brought in something like $24.5 million.
Sure.
So that was like a major, major, major flop.
Yeah.
There. And then also, you know, Jamie Lee Curtis had the belly, right?
Yeah, I was wondering about that. Eh?
Yeah, everyone thinks it's prosthetic, right? It's not. That was so she let herself
she just
go.
Let herself.
She was so cool though.
She was
though.
Brilliant.
She was very. But she also the directors, even Michelle said she was like so into it. They found apparently a picture of an actual woman who like was a tax auditor or whatever. And when they saw that picture, Jamie was like, "Please can I be her? Please can I be her? Please can I be her?" And they were like, "Okay, cool." And she literally like everything. She had that wristband and she put her watch over the wristband. That was her idea. The necklace was her idea. Everything. And she apparently just let herself go because she was saying like, everywhere in life we do things to cover things up, like everywhere. And she was like, no, let's just be real. So that is her actual belly there.
Yeah,
that,
because there's like lots of angles where you see the belly.
Yeah.
It's like,
it was so good because it was so real and it was so realistic.
There's even the part where she like downloads a superpower.
Yes.
And then she sucks her belly. And then she
really sucked her belly in.
So you really get the feel of, yeah, how much belly's there.
And even when she, you know, when she jumps off the stairs,
yeah,
they had her on wires. And she actually, there was one shot where they got the stunt double in, but she actually did that. She was like, please, can I be on the wires?
I believe it was on her bucket list.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
And then also, so the directors, I thought this was very cool because it's such a different concept. The directors were inspired to make the protagonist, because they were like, okay, who do we make the protagonist? And they were inspired by their parents. They were like, what if our parents were the protagonist?
Sure.
And what if we were the antagonist as the children? That's literally where the concept came from. Would you never sit, like, do you understand what I'm saying? Like,
okay.
Who, what film do you watch about your parents as the protagonist?
Yeah.
So, like, I really enjoyed that.
Well, except if you watch a Disney, you know, sitcom or something.
No,
like.
But the parent's not the protagonist. It's always the child that's
the
protagonist.
No.
And
yes.
Then, yeah, the parent can actually be the antagonist. Do you see what
you're
I'm
right.
saying?
Yeah. True.
And
then
they describe the film, which I thought was really nice, about a love story about a mother feeling like her daughter has pulled away from her.
Yeah.
And I think what I really liked about the film was that it was just so real to, like, real life. Like, that's situations that mothers and daughters go through. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, most mother-daughter relationships aren't right or
yeah,
aren't
she, like,
good.
Walks up to her daughter and she am I right? Her intention was to say something nice, right?
No. And then she goes, you're getting fat. I was like,
you need to eat more salad or you need to eat more healthy.
Like,
water. And then she walks off.
I felt pain for the daughter. Yeah. There. I was just like, oh, that was that way. Oh, no. That was so bad. And then at the end, spoiler, she's still like, you still need to, you have gotten fat. But, so she, and that is what a mother does.
Yeah.
You know, a mother's going to be honest with you.
Don't slouch. Stop chewing like that.
Yeah. So I like that. And then also, I love the fact that the aspect ratio changed depending on what universe they were in.
Oh, I didn't know.
I didn't pick it up when I was watching it.
No.
But it would, it subconsciously, it actually does affect you as a viewer. So the fact that they actually did that was really, really cool.
Really, eh?
Yeah, they did that. So it went from the normal, like, you know, the normal aspect ratio.
16:9.
No, not 16:9. The
2:35, I think.
Yeah.
2:17.
And then they took it to the 16:9.
2:21.
They say most like comedy films are in that type of aspect
right.
ratio.
yeah, that's right.
So they did that,
yes.
Which I thought was brilliant. And then also the director said that basically it was like a genre mashup.
It was.
I think the reason I loved this film so much was because it was I've never seen anything like this. Like, I've never watched or experienced a film like that before. It literally was like, it's one of a kind.
I definitely have not experienced a film like this before.
It was a completely... No. Do you know what I also loved was, if you go on Vanity Fair, there's a video, the two directors, what are their names? Daniel. So they have the same name.
They're both Daniel, yeah.
Yes, so the two Daniels and then Michelle. And they do notes on a scene, and it's the scene where the husband tells her that he wants a divorce.
The first fight, basically.
Yes, and it's also the first time that they kind of like, she goes through the multiverse.
Yeah.
Like, it's the first experience of going through the multiverse. Mm. But the way they showed how, like, he was saying to her in the van, I don't want to hurt you. But then back in another universe, Jamie Lee Curtis is physically
getting hurt.
punching her. Mm. So she is, and that whole thing just often, and they often did that. They'd often like jump through the different universes, and you'd see like. Like the whole situation being played out, or and even at the end, like she realizes she in all of her different universes, she realizes like families at the end of the day what matters.
She's actually got the best life.
Yes, and you don't need to have money, fame, the best profession, the best career. You don't have to be the best at, because like she was kind of like the failure of all of the different versions of herself, because she just owned like this laundromat. And
knee deep in tax.
Yeah,
what?
She was really bad with taxes, and you know,
and
like
marriage is failing.
Marriage failed. Daughters,
the
like
house was a mess.
Every father, complete disappointment.
I don't know what was happening with the father. That was just weird.
But like, the story of ultimately it was a story about family. For that's actually what it was about.
For me, I got like, I don't know, you know. I honestly didn't know what was happening. Eh? I'm like, wait, is this like a superhero? But then, like, you're trying to grab hold of the film, you know, and you can't. And so you have to just sort of leave it and just let it go. And you just got to let it roll before you are. You know, they say a person in a incident, a person will either what?
Flight or fight.
Fright, flight or...
Freeze. I think freeze is one of them.
And I was freezing. Yeah, I was just watching, and then obviously it got towards the end, and then you sort of grasped it, like, you sort of got hints of it, but it was small hints, and then you got to the end, and then whatever happens, I'm not going to spoil it, and then you're like, okay, and then I thought to myself, but did we have to have all of that, like, it was unnecessary, all of the, and it was creative, and then, in the interview with the director said something, and then I was like, okay, all right, I get it. And they definitely nailed it down on the head, right into the board. In fact,
the nail's gone.
And they basically said this. They said, our movie is all about getting past logic and processing, which I couldn't do, and critical thinking, which I couldn't do, and just being like, I want to give you something that is beyond that. And that's what it was.
But that's so weird, because I loved it.
Is it?
I sat there. I was just like... This is amazing. Okay, there were I didn't like the push of the whole LGBT thing. So the daughter's lesbian. Mm. That I was just like, for me, I'll never be okay with that. And then also there was a universe where it was the hot dog fingers universe where Jamie Lee Curtis and Michelle were in a relationship where they chewed each other's fingers. It was weird.
And the sauce.
the sauce. When, like, that was just like...
Just like, okay, this is awkward.
Yeah. So like that for me, I think that was the only part of the film I was just like, ready.
There was a couple of swear words in the film as well. And then there were some unnecessary items.
Yeah, the
that was like...
But there was never anything where you had to, like... They didn't show any nudity or anything like that.
Well, the one scene, they might as well. It was very weird. My kids were... Luckily, they were just like... They didn't pick up anything weird. I don't even know what scene I'm talking about.
I know what scene you're talking about, yeah. But I'm saying the way they showed it...
Luckily, it was only one scene. And it was quick and short. So... What I would definitely recommend...
It's the one fight scene, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So, what I would definitely recommend... This is the only film that I would say, listen to our show first, and then go watch the film. Because I think if I had to go watch the film now, I'll probably actually enjoy it.
For real?
Having a bit more context.
You know what's weird? Okay, I might just be that one weird person out there that's like standing by myself with the two Daniels and Michelle maybe and Jamie Lee Curtis. Like we're standing together like, woo! You know, but also like people did enjoy it because like box office proves
it did
that.
Well.
But your response, because I told you to watch it. I'd been told by another person and I really enjoyed it and she enjoyed it. Mm. And then, but I'd seen it because I follow Michelle on Instagram. So I'd seen her posting about it and all.
Cool.
So there was like a curiosity, but then when that other person said, watch it, I was like, okay. Then I told other people to watch it and literally like 5 minutes before Ryan came in, I was like, what the hell did you make me watch? This person was also like, what is this? She never finished it, but her response was also the same as yours. So both of you had like a negative response to the film. So I don't know. Maybe I was just For me, I just loved the creativity. Like, it was so creative.
It was super creative. I liked the fact that they really brought something out of the box.
Mm.
That they created something out of the box. The other thing that I heard, apparently the main role of Michelle,
yes,
was originally written for Jackie Chan.
Yeah.
And then, so they were like, yeah. And then, of course, Michelle is also, she does kung fu. And I think she's acted alongside Jackie Chan as well.
Mm, she's a big actress.
Yes.
They were actually very honored to
I recognized her. And yeah. I recognized, what is her name? The
Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, and I recognized her. The boy, the husband, he had obviously been in, so you said that he had not acted for 20 years. And
yeah.
That's because he was in a film, Indiana Jones film.
Oh, really?
As a
little
boy.
But there was also... That's weird, because yeah. There was an Indiana Jones reference in the film.
That's right.
Oh, that makes sense now. Yes. Oh!
So, and you could also fight... When I looked at the fight scenes, it wasn't a surprise to me, because I got a very Chinese...
Yeah.
You could pick up the Chinese choreograph, and...
You know the two guys that were in that awkward fight scene that you mentioned.
Yes.
I think those two guys were the main stunt choreographers, because if you watch like behind the scenes footage, they often worked with Michelle, and they like keep like reappearing in like all the fight scenes. So I think they were like a major part of the.
That was just a very weird. It was a funny scene though. I think that's when I laughed the hardest. Awkwardly laughed, because I didn't know. I was just like, I don't know if I should laugh or laugh. But
yeah. Just like, but I loved also the concepts of how they did the traveling through the multiverse.
That was good.
Like, it was so like,
I liked it.
It was so stupid. Like, they put these two like phone things, and then it was very cool.
You know how in our last movie we spoke about the whole anime feel.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
this movie in the fight scenes and that had yes. a very similar anime feel. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the influence came from the one director, Daniel Kwan.
Yeah.
Because he was Chinese.
Yes.
I don't know if that's how, because there was obviously there was Chinese actors, but yeah, the fight, and there was the one fight scene with the shield. Like, that was brilliant.
Oh, that
done.
Was so cool.
So there is stuff, but again, within all of that, you're sitting there and your brain's just like, I don't know what's going on.
See, that's weird, because I could follow along. I actually followed along. I loved how they, so what they would do was they'd present a situation, and then they'd kind of show you like in all the different universes, like how this would play out. So in the one in the Kung Fu universe, they'd obviously you fight, because it's the Kung Fu universe. You don't talk about things. I mean, why would you talk about it when you can just hit them? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like they would keep switching back to that universe. Then it would switch back to one where, you know, like they're just having a conversation in the car. Then it would switch back to one where she's completely alone because, you know, she never actually married him. And so like, I think, I don't know, I was able at first in the movie, you're like trying to follow like, there you're like, okay, what's happening, what's going on, because she's also being introduced to the multiverse type of thing. But then once like they got in, so like after that first fight scene, I personally was cool. And then obviously you, some of the universes, you were like, really, like when they were piñatas.
Yeah.
I was like, and The Rock, I was just like, okay,
and like
very easy to film
for quite a while. There was a lot of reading.
Yes,
in the Rock scene,
it was just very creative. I think that's why I really, really enjoyed it.
It was very out of the box, yeah, like completely out the box.
And apparently, so it is like an immigrant story. But apparently, the director said it wasn't their plan in the beginning to, you know, let's make an immigrant film type of thing. But they said, if you look at an immigrant's life, they would have like they would have to be like the most brave, and they'd have to like make daring decisions, like, do I leave or do I stay? If I leave, my life's going to be a whole lot different to if I stay. So I think like just the whole, and they showed that like her leaving, because her father didn't approve of her husband, but then in her universe she chose to leave with him, in another universe she didn't, and then this is what happened, she became successful. And yeah, so I think that was cool. Also, I picked this up. I don't know if you picked this up, but you know Michelle was in Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah, that's right.
So in the reality where Evelyn is a movie star, real footage of Michelle on the red carpet is actually used.
Nah, I thought so.
Including the premiere of Crazy Rich Asians. Yeah. I actually saw it. I was like, that's from Crazy Rich. So that was, it was clever as well. Because, I mean, the footage is there. She was dressed up. She was, yeah, which was cool. And then also, I loved the scene. When Joy approaches Evelyn in the forest, her weapon cycles through multiple variations.
It was so cool.
It was so cool.
Yeah.
One of them, for a split second, she's holding an Oscar.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh. For reference to Oscars, go listen to our Oscar show.
But like, I loved that. I loved how, even like when the way she like defeated people, she didn't like, the heads weren't exploding. Instead, his head turned into confetti. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, things like that.
That was just a lot of practical effects.
Yes,
I
and
believe.
It was a lot of practical. Mm. Like, just, it's such a good film. If you understand what I'm saying, from like a film perspective, maybe the storyline was questionable, you know, slightly weird and like, yeah. But like for me, visually, it was so good visually. Like, and like that's what a film, the films are visual.
I guess that's the thing about the multiverse.
For me, honestly, this was more of a realistic multiverse than like any multiverse has ever been shown.
What creates the confusion is because she'll go to another multiverse and the emotions or the situation would be like completely different.
Yeah. So she's watching.
But I love the way they joined it though.
Yeah.
That was really brilliant. Enjoyed it. I mean, she would like, she's about to, she like smashes her head against through a window. Next minute, she's in the car and she bangs her head on the steering wheel. And then behind you see the hand, and then she cuts back to another verse, and then she.
No, it was very, so like even those cuts in that say
very well
planned. Yeah, it was very well planned, and for me, honestly, I just love that they didn't spend your obviously $25 million, but for a film that's actually, I mean, I read out the other films, and the cheapest one out of those was $90 million.
Yeah.
They didn't even have half of that budget, and yet they did what they were able to do, and also like just the fact that they stayed like the special effects. That's the film industry, you know, that's what the film industry is made of. That's where the film industry came from. And then the visual effects, also the way they use the visual effects, that's like currently where we're at. But then also it wasn't like an overuse of, you know, like they stood in a green room, you know, and then they didn't stand in a green room.
I bet you they all used Blender. All the visual effects artists.
And also the fact that the visual effects artists learned, guys. The people that did the VFX in this film didn't study. They didn't go to school. They don't have degrees. They watched free tutorials online.
Right.
They did the donut.
They did the donut.
That's funny because the bagel, you know the bagel?
You see?
That giant bagel.
That's where they got the idea from. It was Andrew Price.
There we go.
For any references there, please go to blenderguru.com.
There we go.
If you don't know what I'm talking about.
If you want to do the donut.
Go do the donut.
Go do the donut. But like, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, these five friends, they were just like, yo guys, let's do the VFX. And then they made a movie. Like,
so that's what they did in the pandemic.
And yes, literally. Mm. They literally said these five dudes sat in their room for the whole pandemic just working on this film. Like that was we should have filmed something before, like, wait, we did.
We did. We should have made it more.
We were also making a film.
We should have said, fine, we're bringing the multiverse. But we didn't film it. We're going to make it in Blender. Yeah.
The donut.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, just, for me, I watched the film and I was just like, okay, this is, I've never, ever watched anything like this. I love having those experiences where it's like, I've never watched a film like this.
No, it just needed to make sense in my mind, that's all. It
didn't
make sense.
Watch it again, Ryan. Watch it again.
Like, it will make sense, but it was, I just, like, the thing is that the film was so, literally.
It was fast-paced,
There's just do-do-do-do-do. And usually what happens with a film is you get, like, a hectic part, and then there's a breather. There's no breather in this film. It's just. Next minute, and just before you see, okay, breathe back to another verse, and you're like, whoa, then it's another verse, another fight, and then there's someone else that comes in, then there's another situation, and then they go back to this verse of it, and then it affected that, and then you're like, okay, just let it roll. That's fine. It was like Tenet. Tenet was like that.
No, but you say Christopher Nolan always has slow pieces.
Yeah, there's the stretch in the film, but I'm saying Tenet, you couldn't wrap your head around what was happening. Usually you have to grip so you can get involved. You can involve yourself, but you couldn't.
See, okay, I was gripped.
No, I wasn't.
That's weird. That's interesting, though.
Because I didn't even know what was at stake. I don't know if there was something.
Her family was at stake. Her family was at stake.
It was just chaos.
She was losing her husband because their relationship had died, and she was losing her daughter. And her daughter was she had unforgiveness and resentment and became like vengeful. Like, she wanted to get her mom back.
But we don't have time to think about that. It's like being strapped in electric chair. And it's like... And then when they start to be like... There's like no space to... Just when you think you can breathe... It's like the electric chair kicks up again. You're like in another verse
maybe,
again.
Maybe my brain works too fast for... Maybe that's why I don't finish my sentences. Brain's just like...
High frame
rate. So like
rate.
This fall, my brain was like, yes, yes, it's going with me.
Yeah, do you guys understand? That's often what she says, like, do you get what I'm saying? You're like, no, you didn't finish the sentence.
Oh, sorry, I thought I did. So this fall, this was my type of... They didn't have to finish their sentence. I got it. That's why they jumped to the next universe.
All right, guys, comment below if you got this or didn't get this. But please go watch the film.
Yeah, let us know what you think.
Although we've given you context now. That's the problem. But if anybody's watched the film...
Ryan, I think you should watch it again, and next week you should say, okay, I watched it again, and I would just like to say I hated it even more or I loved it. I get what you were saying.
No, I've got other films that I want to watch.
Oh, he doesn't even want to watch it again.
Yeah.
That's hectic.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be watching Stranger Things this week.
Oh, definitely.
I didn't finish season 3. So
oh, Stranger Things. We are doing...
I need to watch season
3. Ryan, I feel like we need to do a Stranger Things show.
Yeah, but that's so season 3. Yes, okay, yeah.
No, we need to. You need to get to...
When I get to season 4, because at the moment Stranger Things is like a big thing. Like there's Stranger Things like adverts. I've seen like so many interviews, how they did this scene and all that. I'm like, sure, it's blowing up, eh?
No, it's
like
insane.
Stranger Things
it's
is blowing
and
up.
And they spend so much on each episode.
But
it's
so
brilliant.
Good.
It's brilliant.
Their sets are so good.
Ryan, the storyline.
You see?
You complained about the storyline.
You see?
The story... Ryan, the Duffer brothers know how to tell a story. I don't even know... I feel like they're the best storytellers alive ever.
At least when I watch Stranger Things, I got hooked.
Yeah, it's fine. You can go watch Stranger Things.
Like,
you know why I watched this movie? Can I be honest? I was waiting for Stranger Things. I enjoyed it. I honestly would like to just say I did enjoy this film.
Yeah.
If you don't agree with me, the box office is on my side.
I'm just saying I felt like I couldn't go to bed. I was just like, I think I'm going mad. I honestly did. I'm like, everything just feels...
Can I tell you something
my
weird?
My family passed out. They just...
Can I tell you something weird?
And I was like...
I watched half of the movie and then I was like, okay, you know what? I'm tired. Let me sleep and watch the rest tomorrow.
You had time to digest.
Oh, is that the problem? You watched in one go.
I just watched it. I think I stayed awake an hour and a half after that. Watching something else that made sense.
So that's your problem. It didn't make sense.
It's just the electric chair. The electric chair. That's all I can say.
And you don't even want to give it a second chance. Are you that traumatized?
You're like, wait, just that piece that...
I clearly like the electric chair.
Water. Didn't you? Just wait.
So you are actually saying this was torturous. This was like...
It wasn't.
Torture.
Eventually, you're just like, okay. The only part I got was at the end. You know? When the daughter and the mother and the husband and the family. And then I was just like... So all of this was about the daughter and the mother.
Literally.
I'm like...
It was a really creative way to tell a very simple story. That's it, Ryan. You thought it was complicated. You think it's like Tenant. It's not like Tenant. It's literally a storyline of a woman doing taxes. That's the basic form. The next basic form is a woman who's unhappy and disappointed with how her life turned out.
And right in the end, they're in the tax office there again.
Yes, and her family's also breaking. And you see, she's sitting there and she's actually happy. Like, nothing's changed. Her problems
and her
haven't
daughter
gone.
Was with her.
Exactly.
And
see?
Her daughter was
it's a
helping
very
her.
Simple way to tell a very, yeah. I mean, a very complicated way to tell a very simple story. That's
so, question. From the first scene, because there were different parts as well. From the first scene where she's there in her dining room to in the last sequence where she's in the dining room, how much time passed between that and that?
Maybe a day. I don't know. Because they
next
never
on the movie show. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, so I loved it, Ryan hated it, but that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ryan just admitted he hated it. I don't know if Ryan's ever admitted he hated the film on the movie show. Last question, let me sign in. Was this film better or worse than the Romeo and Juliet that we watched, you know, with Leonardo DiCaprio?
But the creative was way better. I enjoyed the creativity.
In which one? This one?
In this one, yeah.
Yeah.
So there was that part.
For me, this film was way better than that film.
That's why I did enjoy the film, was the creative, the way they did stuff. I was like, ooh, that's cool.
And it didn't leave you feeling like...
No.
You see?
Made me feel...
I was like... Literally, Ryan was like, I didn't even see Ryan. Next time I heard Sassy, I was like, Yeah?
What the hell
did you make me watch? I was like, did you watch the right movie? Are you sure you weren't? Then he started explaining. I was like, yeah, I watched the right movie. Okay, he clearly hated it. Sorry, Ryan.
So, yeah.
But it was lovely to watch. As in, look at it. It was lovely to look at. Look at. Visually. Now that Ryan is traumatized, we are signing out. This is the movie show.
On your favorite ORSPS.
Peace.
Cheers.
Active FM. Radio has never been better.